Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here. Human rights demand.
All tyrants, yes, they rabbi. Fall night to the merchant ships.
Freedom.
Minutes after day to guy. From the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong. By the end of the Almighty, we forward in this generation. Triumphantly, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but the ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Cause all I...
Yes. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to Human Rights Demand. Human Rights Demand. And I want to let you know that we're standing by for your calls. We have some wonderful guests tonight. The subject is Stop Mandatory Vaccines. Today is August 26, 2015. And this is episode number one. I just wrote a note to Blog Talk Radio. I asked them to please remove anybody from their controls who has pharmaceutical stocks. If they have pharmaceutical stock, Mr. Levy or any of his employees, they will not like today's show. And I asked that they please remove people with pharmaceutical stocks. I think that they should also remove people with prison stock. Last night, Mr. Ralph Pointer and his panel could not adequately do their show regarding political prisoners. So I think that people who invest in some of the very things that we protest, mass incarceration, wars, mandatory vaccines, they must get very uncomfortable with us using their services to protest those things. And sometimes the temptation to just press a button and interfere with us is overwhelming. So I suggest that everybody needs to make up their mind whether they're going to do radio shows and make that available to the public, or whether they're going to, you know, be prison investors and warmongers and pharmaceutical pushers, because it's hard for you to do both. Now, I have a message showing up here on the billboard. I think it's just for me, like a prearranged excuse. It says, we are seeing problems with one of our recording service. I'm sure it's the one that got me on, which may interrupt some shows. Our engineering and product teams are investigating. We apologize and will send updates as we have them. Well, we're going to do a protest in Silicon Valley. We're going to update them on the fact that we have freedom of speech and free press. Let's get on to the show tonight. It's very important. It's important to our health. It's important to our lives. I want to ask you one simple question. Can you look at your body for me? Can you take a look? Do you have U.S. government property stepped on you any place? Property of the U.S. government. You know, when the mailmen carry the mail, they're very durable and nice trays that they use, say, U.S. government property. And I just wonder about these mandatory vaccines. I don't think that people are government property. I object to that. And understand that mandatory vaccines are being discussed for everyone, not just children. And it's time to think about it. A healthy populace, 350 million Americans are basically healthy, other than the normal circumstances that people encounter as they age. And, of course, a certain percentage of the population has chronic diseases, but it's not a lot of communicable diseases that are life-threatening going around in America. So what's the deal with these mandatory vaccines? I want to caution you that a good many of our decision makers in the United States of America are eugenicists. That is to say that they think that some people deserve life more than others. Some people. There was a book, Animal Farm, and they have the mentality of the pigs. I want you to know a good many decision makers in America are of the mindset that we have too many people in the world. They're depopulation proponents. And that being the case, I think it's time for us to really examine whether we agree with mandatory vaccines or not. So tonight on the show, we have two guests who can talk about that very well. One of them is Dr. Shirley Moore. And she said that she will discuss HB15090. That's HB15090. That's a House bill. And it's a bill from 1970, according to the pictures of it that are at Google Images. They have pictures of it. It's a House bill, 15090. And it was discussing AIDS, using AIDS virus to depopulate blacks in America. Now, I did not find any validation for that bill. I looked. And I looked at Snoop's because I really did hope to find a rebuttal from Snoop saying that that bill never existed, but I didn't find that either. I wrote to the State Department at Twitter. It wasn't an official letter because I found that they don't answer my letters whether they're official or not, so I just sent a tweet. And I said, you know, did HB15090 ever exist? A study to determine what it would take to depopulate blacks in America with AIDS virus. And I didn't get a response yet, as far as I know. Call in and talk to us, please. The telephone number is 347-857-3293. Again, the number is 347-857-3293. Call that number to speak on air. And if they don't let you call, play you a Verizon message. That happens sometimes. I'm the most censored person in America. Look that up, Mary Neal, America's most censored. I'm the channel director and host, and we will discuss a medical experiment that was done in the 1970s using black girls in my neck of the woods, Fayette County, Tennessee. They used them through the U.S. Health Department, And this is a study that's never been revealed, as far as I know. The experiments were for a birth control drug called Depo-Provera. It had not been released by the FDA, and it was not released until the 1990s. I believe it was released in 1992, and I went to high school in 1969, and my little girlfriends went to the health department to get birth control the first part of 1970, and they came away with something their mommies could not band, and that is birth control shots. When I read about the FDA's approval of this birth control in 1992, I was shocked because I have friends who were given the birth control shots when they were 15 years old, 20 years before the date when FDA said it was released for use. Now, the medical magazine where I read about the new birth control said that the drug was tested on women in a third world country. That country would be my small hometown in Tennessee. And the women were actually children who were administered the shots and monitored like Alabama farmers who were subjected to the Tuskegee experiments. That was a syphilis study that happened from the 1930s to the 1970s. Now, Tuskegee was winding down by 1972. They were done. But to show you there was no remorse for misusing those black farmers in Alabama, they were doing little black farm girls in Tennessee the very same year. So they do what they want with us, and now they want to give us mandatory vaccinations. We also have Dr. Short, Dr. Randy Short, who is a human rights spokesperson, and he covers so many different subjects that I'm not even going to try to categorize his specialty. He specializes in human rights for everyone, and he will have something to add to this conversation tonight. And I hope that you do also. I hope that you will stand up for your rights. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've seen people go through foreclosure and get their houses taken. I've seen people work hard and pay into their retirement funds like at Enron and get their entire retirement accounts taken. But when they start taking your right to determine what goes inside your body, that is overstepping your bounds. That's my opinion. God said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But my body is not Caesar's, and I'm not taking any mandatory vaccinations today, tomorrow, or ever, okay? With that said, I think that vaccinations have done a lot of good. I had a brother who was mentally ill, Larry Neal, and that is because he got mumps, and the mumps, the infection in his jaws that made him swell, it leaked into his brain. And he was a very intelligent little boy. But with that mumps and going to his brain, he was mentally ill after that. And at age 9, he was put in a mental hospital. By age 12, they were giving him shock treatment. He never regained his balance. He never regained his mental ability. So I think vaccinations have done good, but mandatory vaccines for every man, woman, and child, one size fits all. It doesn't matter whether your mother is 93 like mine, or if your young wife is pregnant, everybody must take mandatory vaccines. You know, even aspirin is deadly for some people. But they supposedly have one-size-fits-all vaccinations. And let me just say this before I bring on our guests. When this subject was broached in 2009 regarding the H1N1 vaccines, I read that the U.S. government had absolved itself of any liability for injuries and deaths of mandatory vaccines. I read that the U.S. government had absolved all administering medical personnel. In other words, your doctors and nurses and whomever gives you these mandatory vaccines cannot be held responsible for injuries and deaths. I read that even the pharmaceutical companies that make the vaccines will be out of your reach. They will not be held responsible if they make up a big batch of poison. They won't be held responsible if your children take the mandatory vaccines and end up crippled like the children in Africa did after Bill Gates sent them some vaccines. So there is nothing to be done. In other words, you will have no legal recourse if you're injured or somebody in your family dies from mandatory vaccines. So with that, I'm going to start bringing in our guests to say hello, because this should be a very exciting series of conversations. We're going to meet here at Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to talk about mandatory vaccinations and why we don't want them. Now, you know, when it started up before in 2009, the stocks for, I believe it was Baxter stocks, I'll have to look up my notes, but the stocks for these pharmaceutical companies went through the roof. I mean, they were making money, because if everybody has to take mandatory vaccines, 350 million people in America, that's quite lucrative for pharmaceutical companies. So their stocks went up. That is why I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, all the time, we must make our public officials, whether they're elected or appointed, they must divest themselves of stocks in order to serve us. Now, did I say that? No, God said it. God said, make them divest or resign. Where did God say that? God said it in Matthew. He said, no man can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other. So God said that these elected and appointed officials would be unable to serve you and their stock portfolios. They can't. It's not a matter of they don't want to do the right thing, but God said it's impossible for them to be able to turn down the big boost that they're expecting from these pharmaceutical stocks once they start pushing those drugs. They can't resist it. So I have a blog I'd like for you to look at some point during or after this show, and it is called Divest or Resign. Get these greedy Genesis 6:4 giants out of public office, because they need to divest or resign. We don't need them making decisions over our personal bodies. We don't need them if they're prison investors and they're making decisions over crime and punishment. We don't need them if they are have a great many products that they're investing in that do well under relaxed environmental protection laws. We don't need them to be making decisions that inflate their own stock portfolios at the expense of hardworking taxpayers who are oppressed. So right now, without any further ado, I'm going to give you to Dr. Shirley and also Dr. Short, And we have another caller at 9677. So why don't we first all introduce ourselves, and then we'll let Dr. Shirley lead off, then Dr. Short, and then 9677 can have a word. And we're just going to play it like that this whole 2 hours. We'll be on air from 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be right back here again next Wednesday until Jesus comes or until they drop this attempt to force us into vaccinations. So, Dr. Shirley, how are you today?
Hi, Sister Mary. Thank you for having me. I look forward to doing the interview. I'm so happy that Dr. Short is here. I just talked to him on Facebook and asked him to come over. I didn't know he was coming, so this should be a great show. Thank you.
It should be a great show. You know, you are so knowledgeable, like Dr. Short, about so many different areas of human rights, and I'm so glad you came to share with us. I'm going to speak to the other two guests, and then we'll be back to you. And when we come to each of you, you will each have 30 minutes to give your presentations, so we can get lots of information from you, and then we will be back to me to close out. Is that okay?
Okay, let me ask you, is it okay if I give some of the balance of my time to Dr. Smith? Because I know I don't need 30 minutes.
Well, ma'am, you have up to 30 minutes. I should have said up to 30 minutes. You don't have to take 30 minutes, but you'd be surprised at how much material you really have in your head. You'd be surprised.
Okay.
So, Dr. Randy Short, how are you today? Dr. Short, are you on the air? 2116. Okay. 9677, how are you today?
I'm okay. I'm just listening in.
Wonderful. We appreciate your listening in. If you have comments, we will be back and give everybody an opportunity to ask questions or make comments as the show goes on, okay? So right now we're going to begin with Dr. Shirley.
Oh, okay, I'm on. Thank you. Okay, first I'd like to make a few observations on what you said when you talked about the vaccinations. Well, according to Dr. Carley, you guys can look her up, Dr. Carley, none of these vaccinations are any good. According to her, and she is a medical doctor, former surgeon, I am not. According to her, most of these diseases, high blood pressure, all these diseases that you have now came from those vaccinations. According to Dr. Carley, and the chicken and the turkey wings, they are injected with live syphilis and or AIDS. So I don't know if any of them are any good. You talked about as to how these people have been immune from immunity. Well, if it were me, I would use the same law that's just been passed back in 2013 where everyone has been stripped from immunity. No one has immunity. So I think that might be something that we might ask for some specification on, because it says everyone has lost their immunity. This is why you're starting to see people released from these prisons. This is why you're seeing here in the state of California, a county of Orange County, they're going all the way back to the 80s, revisiting cases. I don't know if you're aware, but even in Ferguson, they're going back and deleting all of the arrest warrants if they happened prior to 2015. These people know that their time is up, so I don't know how one group is being rendered immunity and another one isn't. So I think we need specificity in that ruling, because according to what I read, no one has immunity anymore. So to say that they'll be immune for anything that goes wrong, if you have these vaccinations, they're not going to be able to circumvent the law. So I think that's something that we might want to challenge. I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. What I wanted to say to the audience today, thank you, Mary, for having this show. The other day, I don't know if you guys know, but a former congressman out of Ohio, Stokes. He passed away. And sometimes we, particularly the African Americans, we tend to vote Democrat and we tend to vote people because they're African American. We need to stop it. We need to begin to look at their voting record and what they're doing. I had forgotten this document that I had, but as soon as it hit Facebook, I said, oh, my God, I had something. And what it was this document that came out of the Library of Congress, already stamped. And what it showed is where the Department of Defense created this AIDS virus. It also shows how the Committee of Appropriation in Washington, D.C., they voted to allow this money to move forward. So being that I'm a researcher, I had to go back and see exactly who was on the House of Appropriation at that time. Well, long and behold, Stokes was the first African-American to ever sit on the House of Appropriation. Of course, he voted for it. As I began to search further, I began to see some of the same people that voted for that bill are still in office today. But moreover, we had a lady here from California. She was the first black congresswoman ever from the state, and she was the first black woman to sit on the appropriation. Now, of course, it happened in 1969. That's when the actual vote. But, you know, so she, this lady, I'll mention her name, Von Burke, she became a member of this committee. Now, after she leaves Washington, D.C., this is what's so, listen, guys, this is important. After she leaves Washington, she comes back to California. Remember, Los Angeles County has probably one of the largest trial systems in the country. She's a county board of supervisors. Some of you guys might call them aldermen. Now, they have five of them, but they are assigned to different things. She was assigned to guardianship, the county jail, Martin Luther King Hospital, which was a trauma center, right there between Watts and Compton, where they needed this hospital, and she was over CPS. Now, here she is, sitting in a place that is crucial, where they're hurting African Americans, whether it be the hospital, whether it be the jails, and especially with CPS. It would seem to me that being that she just left Washington, and she already knew the underlying plan for us, she would have conducted herself differently. First of all, when they wanted to close the hospital, there was no argument. Number two, when we asked for a civilian review board for the county jail, she said no. But let me say this. The reason that is so important is because we're talking about a bill. We're not talking about, like they talk about the health care bill, 1,000 pages. We're talking about probably on the 6th page. It says, without a doubt, a kindergartner could see, it says that this had two dual purposes. One was to depopulate, and the second was to get rid of black people. You can't say you didn't read that. How do you come back to a community and ask your people to vote for you, and you're sitting there, and you know what's in store for them? Martin Luther King goes down, then they say one out of every 50 black men in L.A. County has AIDS. And you say nothing. But when you retire, these folks give you a standing ovation. This is what I'm saying, people. This is why they don't respect us, because we're not making them stand on their square and explain their position. We're voting because they're Democrat, because they're black, and they come in your church around election and take a photo out with you, and you forget. We can't continue to be misled and drug down the tubes. So, again, when Mary and I began to talk, I was trying to put it on the Facebook, and it bothers me pictures. I have over 3,000 people on my Facebook, and the African Americans, it's like they're not even thinking. That should have been a conversation. We've got to stop only wanting to hear things that we are familiar with. If we say things sometimes to us that's outside of our, you know, of our interests or something that we're not aware of, oh, I want to hear that. Oh, please, they can't do that. And then a few weeks or a month later, it hits you, say, oh, that's what you were saying? Oh, start listening. You never know, because to me, all of us are accidents waiting to happen, and they're trying to pluck us one by one, whether it be a criminal, civil, probate. They're going to get you. And so that's what I wanted to say. That bill does exist. I send a copy of it to Larry. It could very well possibly be they're trying to hide it. However, it has the stamp on it from the Library of Congress, meaning that it had to have passed, because nothing could have gone there had not it passed. True enough, they could be trying to hide it, but we have the stamp copy. And that's what's been happening. And so, again, when it comes to, and it's not just black people, it's poor people. We just happen to be black. What they're doing, they have separated the people, all people, economically. They don't care, black, white, green, or purple. But it just so happens that the African American are the lowest on the pole, you know, the lowest, I should say it like that. And that's why we feel more of the oppressions. But it's being done to everybody. And I think we need to work together to stop this, because guess what? And to all the free, none are free. Because in many times, in many cases, rather, they practice and they perfect whatever they're going to do among the masses. They practice and perfect it on us. Then they come and they eat their own. That's exactly what they did with the CPS. I want to make one more point. During the time that they came out with the CPS, it began to hit really hard. The late 70s, early 80s, they brought the drugs in the African-American community, and we, oh, God, she don't need her kids. She's on crack cocaine. We're just looking at what we see. They need to take you. All right, what are you doing? You're calling on your neighbor. That's because that's what you think you're supposed to do. Why couldn't the kid go to the grandmother or the aunt? But let me say this. Now, here it is, 20, 30 years later, you're seeing that call that you made on your neighbor because you were jealous of her or you didn't like her. You didn't just hurt her kid and just remove the kid. How do you know that kid wasn't one of the starting of the process of the organ harvesting? See, we don't know. We only know what we see on the surface. And so now we're starting to see a lot of these, they just made you think in your community, we're coming here because these mothers are on drugs and people are going along with, oh, yeah, she don't need a kid. Uh-uh. They had a plan. Now, years later, we're finding those same people that you got mad at, you want to call and call CPS on, you may have caused their kid's life and didn't even know it. That's why we got to think. Don't look at just what's in front of you. These people think far in advance. You're just looking at the now. I remember a friend of mine, some time ago, we knew, but nobody paid attention. This was over 15 years ago. We knew they took her son's organs, but who would listen to that? We could look at the autopsy. They didn't even give her son back. And we're talking about a prominent black family. What they gave her was just the autopsy. They cremated her son. He was shot in the leg. People saw him. He was an accidental shooting by the police. They could have took him to the hospital around the corner. They took him to UCLA, a research hospital. He never came back, 32 years old. They talked about in the autopsy how pretty his heart was. They're giving all these adjective as they described his body parts. So my point is this. We need to stop going by what it looks like. Oh, yeah, damn good. They brought it there knowing. See, remember, they already know how you think. They know you were going to say, oh, she's on drugs, you don't need a kid, I'm going to call CEP, so you get mad. Uh-uh. They had bigger plans. This is why so many children, particularly our children, are missing, and they're not exposing it. They may not even be alive. So think before you do something. And last but not least, I just wanted to say another thing. Ladies and men, I'm very serious on this. You get into a dispute. This is kind of off subject, but I just want to say it. Stop calling the police. Please. Get rid of him or get rid of her. Stop calling the police. The devil cannot come in unless you invite him. Stop using the police as the boogeyman, because usually you're going to get hurt just as much as he. Next thing you know, they'll have you in a cross when you want to drop the charges, and then if you don't want to go for it, they'll frame you. And if they don't have anything on you, they MS you, they'll mix stuff up. Stop it. I wanted to say that. But last, I guess my last thing I would say is that I think we need to start doing our own due diligence. Stop voting because they're Democrat. Stop voting just because they're black. Stop looking at the surface of what it looked like to you, what it feels like to you. Just always go in knowing these people have plans 10, 20, 30 years in advance. So that's all I wanted to say. And thank you, Mary, for allowing me to speak.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shirley. So, again, the number of that House bill is 15090. Dr. Shirley, can you mute your phone now?
I sure can.
Okay. It's 15090. And Dr. Shirley said it is an authentic bill. It does have a Library of Congress number stamped on it. I could not find it when I checked the Library of Congress. I thought that was interesting that if there was such a bill, it didn't come up when I checked the Library of Congress. And also, I didn't get a response from the State Department when I asked about it. Okay, so I don't know. But Dr. Shirley said it is authentic. It was a bill to use AIDS to depopulate, and also, in particular, to depopulate people of color. Now, I want to find out if Dr. Randy Short is with us. Okay. And I want to ask a guest if she has any questions or comments at 9677. Do you have any questions or comments?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us, because we're talking about something very important, and that is stop mandatory vaccines. Now, I have read that other countries acknowledge that vaccinations are responsible for autism in children, and that they had set up funds to pay victims because they develop autism after mandatory vaccinations for children. So that is of interest to a great number of people. I myself have a little niece by marriage who is autistic, and, you know, these things happen. And I'm told that a great many problems have been caused for people, not just in America, but all around the world. I was reading recently about people in Mexico took vaccinations, and a great many of them were adults, and that they became paralyzed. You may have read about the children in Africa who, as I read the story, it said they were you know, the doors were barred at their school. And they were forced, without their parents' consent or knowledge, to submit their bodies to vaccinations. And when that happened, within, I think, hours, the children started experiencing paralysis, and that the children and the parents were told to report to the nearest big city because they were going to take them in the hospital, and that did happen. The parents did get their children to that hospital, thinking that they would reverse their paralysis. However, the article said that they only examined them and did tests on them and then told the parents they could have their children back and did not even see to these parents and children getting home safely. They had to get their own way home, which was very challenging for poor Africans. And so it was like they were used. They were crippled, perhaps for life. And then they had to get their own way home. It's like getting out, invited out on a date and getting raped and then being told to get your own way home. Horrible. So now we're at the point where America is ready to call mandatory vaccines. And this time is not just for the children. This time, adults will also be included in that number of people who must submit their bodies for vaccination, like it or not, whether you're black, white, old, young, rich, poor, no matter what, whether you're pregnant and breastfeeding, whether you're newborn, whether you're nanny and on 10 other different medicines, we're supposed to believe that there is a one-size-fits-all vaccine that's good for everybody, no matter what. And I know that even aspirin, as helpful as aspirin are, and as often as people take them for minor pain or fevers, aspirin can be fatal for some people. So there is no drug that is absolutely safe for every person. But every person in America is supposed to line up and submit their bodies to vaccinations that nobody is accountable for their health and safety after they submit their bodies to the vaccinations. As I said, the government has absolved itself. The pharmaceutical companies are absolved in advance. The doctors and nurses who administer the drugs are absolved in advance. Everybody, nobody at all is responsible. Nobody at all will take responsibility for your health and safety after you take these vaccines. Now, we were very concerned last year when Ebola was brought into America. Ebola was brought here. And I read a good deal about the Ebola because I have followed these vaccinations that are being pushed, drugs that are being pushed. Like the CIA pushed crack cocaine. I've also heard from reliable sources that the government or certain factions in the government sent drugs back with the bodies of our soldiers from Vietnam, pushing drugs. And I read that a couple of weeks ago, 4,000 pounds of cocaine that the U.S. Coast Guard had confiscated 4,000 pounds of cocaine, and that all of that was lost. 4,000 pounds, it may have even been more than that, were lost. And so, you know, we're supposed to believe that. So we're not regarded as being people with very high intelligence. We're not regarded as being people with much courage. And, of course, I guess they're getting their information from somewhere that Americans are cowards. Americans will do whatever elitist white supremacists say do, including land their elderly people, their little innocent children, and their own arms, bear their own arms to accept mandatory vaccinations, people who are healthy and well. All of a sudden, we must be vaccinated, every one of us. This is very disturbing. We all have seen the Georgia Guidestones, at least in pictures. And we know that in this country, and not just in the low levels, in high levels of government, we have people who greatly admire Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, a racist. We have people who believe that the world is crowded. We have 7 billion living people on planet Earth, and they believe the Earth is too crowded, and they want to eliminate a great many who are living today. We've had planes the last number of years flying over and flying those chemtrails. We've seen whole species of birds, a particular type of bird, just drop from the sky by the thousands. We've seen on our beaches whatever particular type of fish, not all the fish, a particular type, it just washes up on the beach, thousands and thousands of certain species of fish. I suggest to you that someone is doing biological experiments, and that they have found what chromosomes are unique to these given species. And it's working. It's working. Now, that's very concerning. All of it is very concerning. So Ebola came to America, and the people, I think one or two people who came with it died, and the others supposedly recovered from Ebola. But I read articles after that that said that Ebola leaves scars on the skin, and that Ebola victims do sometimes recover, but they don't recover back to their normal level of healthiness. And these people totally recovered. I didn't see scars on them. I didn't see any signs, and no signs were mentioned that they still had irreparable damage. So people began to wonder, is this really Ebola? You know, the thing is that we need to be wise. We need to wise up, like Dr. Shirley said. Now, in 2009, in January, Tan, our president, was sworn into office. A congressional representative from Florida put forward a bill for 6 concentration camps in America. His name was Alcee Hastings, a black man. And I believe that anything white supremacists want to do against Africans, they always seek to get an African to put it forward. And so Alcee Hastings put forward this bill or concentration camps in America, which is outrageous. It's outrageous. A country that has claimed freedom, liberty, and justice for all, for all of these years, for this man, Alcee Hastings, to introduce the bill for concentration camps in America. And that happened in January 2009. The bill did not pass. But then, a number of years later, we had a Jewish representative from Michigan, Senator Levin, who again put forth a bill that included concentration camps in America. And that bill did pass, and our president did sign it. And that was on New Year's Eve, 2011. So we entered 2012, ladies and gentlemen, with the threat of internment without criminal charges and without any opportunity for defense. And that's due to the bill that we know now is law, and it's called NDAA. Now, the reason that is important is because in 2009, when the decision makers decided that everybody must take H1N1 vaccines, Massachusetts passed a law. It's called the Martial Law Bill. And that law said that anyone who refused to take the H1N1 vaccine, if a state of emergency was called, would be sent to FEMA camps, concentration camps. So you see how the concentration camp issue ties in with these mandatory vaccines. And thank God that the H1N1 hoax was exposed. It was a hoax. A few people supposedly came down with H1N1. Most of them who came down with it, supposedly, they died. Some of them did not die. But if you have a vaccination, vaccinations are given to people in... It's some of the germ is in every shot. Some of the virus or germ that they're fighting is in every shot. And so, say you have 300 people who've never been around H1N1, never been exposed to it at all, never been exposed to any vaccination for it. And suddenly you insist that all 300 of them take a shot. You're introducing H1N1 to people who might not otherwise have ever come in contact with it. So the likelihood of them developing the disease, or some of them developing it, is greatly increased because they were given that vaccination. Does that make sense? So this is what was proposed in 2009. And as I said, the state of Massachusetts passed, and I believe it passed unanimously. These are people, Democrats and Republicans and independents, they're in the state government of Massachusetts, passed